Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. Finally, draft night. It's about time, yo. I'm all about it. We'll get there in just one moment. All right, nice to have you here. What's going on? How you feeling? How you living? What's cracking? Let me start you off with a telephone number. I've got two interviews coming up, and I've got one in hour number one. I've got one in hour number two. They're both great. I've got a What's Your Beef segment. I know a lot of you want to know that first thing on Thursday. Rome, are you doing it, and what time are you doing it? Yes, and in its customary spot. So if you want to beef, let me work backwards. We are beefing at 11 o'clock Pacific time. 11 o'clock, top of hour number three. So the telephone number to use if you want to beef. And it's a little bit too early to beef, but keep this number in mind. In fact, what you can do is call up, get off your take, then call back, get off your beef. Then you're in twice one day and set the record for getting in three times in one day. One person tried it and got run. Nobody's ever successfully made it through three telephone calls in one single day. It might be you. 1-800-636-8686. That is your number. Hit me up on the X platform at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up at 9:40 or in about 40 minutes from right now, the head football coach at the Ohio State, Ryan Day. Coming up in hour number two, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. Maybe even just the preeminent NFL analyst, Daniel Jeremiah. Period. I know he's the preeminent human being. Love the guy. DJ. Period. Coming up at 10:20. Period. And then the beef segment. So that's how it sets up. Get on the phone. Hit me up right now. Because draft day is finally here. Draft day finally here. Yo, Detroit, how you living? After all the speculation and the self-promotion and all the nonsense and all the liquid magma takes and all the lava flinging, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. I'm pumped. You know it's going to be a wild, wild night. The best drafts are the ones with tons of quarterbacks, and there are tons of quarterbacks available tonight. The draft broadcast is going to be like an Oprah segment. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. We all get quarterbacks. Everybody gets a quarterback. So we're going to see where everybody lands because everybody gets a quarterback. But the one thing we already know for sure is that at the very top of the draft, there's no controversy. There's no controversy. It's going to be Caleb Williams, a.k.a. if Prince played QB, going to the Bears. And no, Chicago has not made it official yet. Not officially official, but Vegas has. Vegas has Prince, Caleb, at minus 20,000. Minus 20,000 to go number one overall. I saw that somewhere this morning. Meaning you'd have to bet 20 grr to make 100 bucks. In other words, he's going first. Anybody want that bet? I think I'll wait for Alvy's prize picks instead. I'm not putting out 20 grand to make 100 bucks. Kind of a crazy number, right? Kind of a crazy number when you remember that the league is supposedly terrified of the guy because he's kind of weird and he's like Prince playing quarterback.
He scares the out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
Credit the Pablo Torre finds out pod for that. Man, we talked about this yesterday. In fact, that took over the show yesterday. And now that I've had night to sleep on it, I still can't get over how horrendous that take is. But I'm thankful for it because it gave us a wild program yesterday. If you're a Prince fan, you want to go out there. If you missed the show yesterday, you want to go find this. If you're a music fan, you want to go find yesterday's program and listen to the entire thing. I promise, it's worth it. Back to Chicago. I mean, I actually hope that that take is correct. I hope that's right. I really hope they are getting Prince, the quarterback, tonight. I hope that they're getting Prince the QB when they draft Caleb Williams, because if you really are drafting Prince the QB, that means you're finally getting the icon you've been waiting 70 years for. It will mean the revolution is finally on for your franchise. What, no ding, Alvy? I can't get a bell for that? Thank you. Thank you so little. Better. Better. That's Alvy's version of, I'll make up for it now. What I'm saying is this, Bears fan.
I'll make up for it now.
You should be incredibly excited. You should be thrilled that the QB formerly known as Caleb Williams is just waiting somewhere right now as I speak, counting down the minutes until Roger Goodell takes to the podium, gets his ass booed, and Caleb Williams can look up at the stage and tell Raj to call my name. So again, no surprise expected at the top. And not a lot of controversy at number two either. It's all right, Alvy. I get it. We're good. We got it. We good. The Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, is the heavy favorite to go to the Commanders at number two. Only issue there is that Jaden Daniels has not seemed to be all that pumped to go to the Commanders, especially not after that weird group QB visit stunt that they pulled on him. Maybe number two ends up being a surprise, but the third pick is where things get really good, a.k.a. the first Patriots pick in decades that will not be made by the Hood Man, which is already a good start for you, half-chowed fam, because Hood Man's draft picks have been a disaster of late. You could even say that the Hood's drafting is the single biggest reason why the Hood's legendary run in New England went up in flames. Either that, or the time he alienated his owner by running the goat off so the GOAT could immediately go win another Lombardi in Tampa the very next year.
That was awesome.
It's funny, right, Bacon? That was bleeping awesome. I bet that was. So that number three pick is going to be very interesting. Really interesting. Chouds, you got a lot going on. Check that. Half chouds. You got a lot going on. Between the Celtics, the number three pick. And more on your Celtics later on. Then you've got the Cardinals picking at number four. And they should, theoretically, begin the wide receiver sweepstakes at that spot, because that is a stacked wide receiver class. So much talk about this being the quarterback class. It might be, or it might be the wide receiver class.
What's up, Bird Gang?
So they should start that there unless another quarterback needy team trades up into that spot.
Buckle up.
If it's the Cardinals, they are expected to go with a wideout. But again, the position is so deep, maybe they trade down. Or maybe they don't. They've got some incredible options. I mean, what's not to love about Marvin Harrison Jr.? You know that I love my namesake, Rome Odunze. He came on yesterday. And I love him not just because he's got a great name. I mean, there's so much to love about that guy. You can't go wrong there. Then you've got Malik Nabers. Also an absolute burner. In fact, it's kind of hard to say that the Cards can go wrong here at all, even if they do trade back. The real question from the fourth pick is, how desperate are the remaining quarterback needy teams? Who's desperate enough to come up and make a move where Arizona has no choice but to say yes? Looking at you, G-Man, are you really satisfied to go to battle with bug-eyed Danny Turnovers? Looking at you too, Minnesota, are you really going to try to win with Sam Darnold this year? Looking at you as well, Denver, because right now you have one of the worst quarterback rooms on paper in the history of the NFL.
Broncos country.
And staring right into the autumn wind. Raider Nation, you need a QB. You're last in line, which either means you're going to have to get really aggressive or really lucky or both. Because as of this morning, you are picking behind all of those teams that I just mentioned, and they all need quarterbacks. That's a massive pick for Raider Nation. But you know who might have the most important pick of the entire draft? Do you know what the most important pick of the entire draft might be? Incredibly enough, the 24th pick. I know that sounds weird, but the 24th pick is the one that I'm really watching, aka the pick belonging to Jerrah. Because Jerrah has not done a damn thing to improve his team this offseason. Man, he better make that 24th pick count. He better make it count. Just don't ask Jerrah why the Cowboys are picking 24th. At least not if you want to hear the correct answer to that question. Check him out.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
What? There's a very reason?
What?
There's a very reason I hope they put me in the ground before I get to be that age. If that's how I'm going to think and speak. What?
My schedule.
Yeah, I hope my schedule is canceled before I get to that point.
What?
If I ever get on the air and ever say anything that's senseless, I hope they put me in the ground before it happens, honestly. Is this dude losing it? I mean, I'm serious. That didn't sound like a bit or a joke. You know, his jokes are always horrible, but that didn't even sound like one of his horrible jokes. Or a bit or a troll job. It sounded, or a Jerrahism. That was not like trying to circumcise a mosquito.
Circumcising the mosquito.
Or Zeke. Oh, welcome back, Zeke. That ought to fix everything. Or Zeke running across the locker room spanking himself. Or any of the other great Jerrahisms. Or him leaving 20% of himself on Bourbon Street.
20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street.
He even sounds lucid there. I'm serious. That sounded like a confused old kook. Alvy, one more time. Why are the Cowboys picking 24th overall according to Jerrah? Let's hear it from Jerrah himself.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
Yo, kook, Jerrah, which rules? According to which rules? According to the rules, we're picking 24th because we're the 24th best team.
According to the rules.
Hey, Jerrah, does that mean then that the Bears are picking first because they were the best team in the NFL last year? Jerrah still can't figure out, after all these years, the reverse draft order. I mean, he's on that team for what, 3 decades? And he still can't figure out that? Just as he still can't figure out the definition of all in either. Yeah, but don't worry, Cowboy fan. Jerrah is all in on this draft. Or maybe I should say, now is the time to be very worried, Cowboy fan. Listen to your guy.
All in.
Because if Jerrah is all in on the draft, like he's been all in on this offseason, then y'all are in for a very rough night.
All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming up. And we're all in with this draft.
Even Steven's like, oh, Pop. Dad, stop saying it. Dad, we prepped you for this. We went over this, Dad.
With these young guys
Papa. Papa Jera. Whatever
track.
You do, do not say all in one more time. We talked about it. We talked about it. Did we not instruct you, Papa?
All in.
Not to say all in once.
All in.
We didn't tell you to keep saying it over and over and over and over again.
With these young guys coming up. And we're all in with this
And whatever
draft.
You do, Dad, don't say it about the draft.
All in.
Listen,
we're
dude.
We're all in with these young guys coming
because
up.
Because you say all in over and over and over again
and
does not make it so,
Jera.
In fact, it's having the opposite effect. It's calling attention to how far from all in you really are. Dude has been saying all in so many times, it's probably lost meaning for him at this point. Like, you know when you say something over and over and over again, it stops even sounding like a word? It just sounds like some kind of weird, meaningless gibberish. That's where Jera is with the phrase all in.
All in.
I mean, it's always been gibberish to the rest of us. But at this point, even I don't think Jera knows what he's trying to say anymore. I just know this. It does not inspire a lot of confidence on a massive night for the Cowboys. Then again, it is a massive night for everybody. So let me know. Who's your team? Who do you want? Who's going to surprise tonight? Who's flying under the radar? Hit me up, clones. It is finally draft day in the jungle. I mean, let's go crazy.
Let's go, go crazy. Let's get nuts.
1-800-636-8686. Get back to Minnesota for a minute. I'm watching them. Now, worst case for you Minnesota fan, if you do not get a quarterback, you do have a legit arm on your roster. Except I'm not talking about Sam Darnold. I'm talking about Justin Jefferson, QB. Dude proved he's got a gun. Have you seen the video on X? He nailed the goalpost from the 50-yard line.
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
That's not it.
Here.
Bob.
Freak show. Remember back in the day when Giselle got pissed at the Pats wide receivers for dropping her ex-husband's throws during the Super Bowl? Remember this?
My husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time.
That was some straight fire, yo. Normally, I'm not about spouses or family members jumping up in, having comments, making it about them, or being a part of the process. But that was way ahead of its time. If you listen very carefully, Giselle said, quote, "My husband can't bleeping throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time." Alvy, one more time.
"Didn't even catch the ball, he's supposed to catch the ball. My husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time."
And she said it with such disdain, too. "My husband cannot bleeping throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time." Right? He can't. But Justin can. Justin can throw the ball and catch the ball.
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
That's not it.
Here.
Oh! Apparently that is it. Hopefully the so-called NFL scriptwriters put that somewhere in the middle of the season. And back to you, Cowboy fan. I want to give you some hope. I want to say that there is... Sorry about that. I want to say that there is some light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe Jera is onto something. Nothing says all in.
That's all in.
Like bringing Zeke back. Josina Anderson reported, quote, "I'm told the Cowboys are currently meeting with running back Ezekiel Elliott's representative around the facility a day before the NFL draft, per source." Awesome. Sweet. Zeke. Sweet. Zeke. Problem solved.
All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming on.
We're all in. Maybe you can bring back Moose Johnston to block for him, Jerry. That would be all in. Why not bring Emmett back and Tony Dorsett? Believe me, Emmett's got fire still. Emmett's pissed. He's pissed at what he sees from you. He probably would come back to try to fix it. If you're going to bring Zeke back, why not bring Emmett back? It's draft day. 1-800-636-8686. Here we are. Here the bleep we are. Chouds. Check that again. I can't believe I've made that mistake twice. Half chouds. I am half chowed. Half chowed, half Frisco fan. That's me. Anyway, chowed fam, I got two words for you. Uh-oh! I would love to tell you Celtic fans, it's only one game. It's only one game. I would love to tell you that because, after all, I'm half you. I want to say it's only one game, and everything's going to be just fine. Except I'm not convinced that it's only one game. Nor am I convinced that everything's going to be just fine. How the hell does that happen? I need way more time to get into this than I have right now. But I'm just going to ask you, how the hell does that happen? Credit to the Heat culture. Credit to Eric Spoelstra. Credit to the sharpshooters that were knocking in all those threes. But how the hell does that happen to Boston? You finished 14 games ahead of anybody else in the East. They did you last year. How does that happen on your home floor? Tell you what, half-chowed. Half-chowed fam, I should say. Man, you better get right. And you better get right fast, as in game number three. You better do them in game three the way they just did you in game two. I'm not saying it's time to panic, but I'd sure as hell know, if I were you, where that panic button was. And then you got the Lake Show. Ripping it apart. Right on cue. It's one thing for people to go in on the ham. To go ham on the ham. Hey-o. Quite another for his own players to do it. His own star players to do it. The alleged face of the franchise to do it. Yeah, I know you agree or disagree, Smoked Ham. You got a problem, yo. You got a big problem. Especially when your face of the franchise is saying there were stretches during our last game where we didn't know what the hell we were doing on either end of the floor. Is there anyone anywhere other than the ham who would disagree with that statement? Man, you know it's a weird, weird, weird world when we all agree with AD. And we do. Except for the ham. 1-800-636-8686. We're going to talk to the head coach of The Ohio State, Ryan Day, because The Ohio State is the pipeline to the NFL. They've sent more players to the NFL than anybody. So Ryan Day will join us. Daniel Jeremiah coming up in hour number two. The beef segment, top of hour number three. Also, something to do when you have a minute. Listen to the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 311, with Andrew Whitworth. Put that out yesterday. Whit is like a national treasure, man. I love the guy. So, how do you feel right now? Are you feeling good? I bet a lot of you are not. And not because you're Cowboy fans. I just mean physically. Are you feeling good? You want to feel good. It affects everything. It affects your life, your experience, everything. Relief Factor knows this. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. Here's what I like about it. One, it works. Two, it's 100% drug-free. Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Neck, back, joint, muscle pain, whatever it is. Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. You will know in 3 weeks or less if it's working because you will feel the difference all day, every day. I know. I use it. I take it. And I did feel a difference. I felt like I could bounce back better. My recovery was better. Just those normal aches and pains were gone. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. 1-800, the number 4, RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
It's going to be a short segment because the first one was so fat. Chris in Milwaukee. Jimmy, what a great open on the draft. I found it borderline erotic.
Borderline erotic.
Brett Bielema.
Borderline erotic.
I find Brett Bielema borderline awesome.
Borderline erotic.
I actually love the guy. Always have. Romeo, draft day. More like back draft day. Signed, Trent Baalke.
Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final.
Signed, V and the Fee. Were the Lakers and Vikings winning tonight, or I'll wake up in a gutter tomorrow? Hey, V, why would tomorrow be any different than any other day? My brother, aren't you already in the gutter?
Brother.
My man, don't you call from and email from the gutter? V and the Fee. I know that you think that kind of rhymes, but it really should be V in the gutter. Sign V in the gutter. V in the Mena gutter. VD in the gutter. You know what's important? Feeling good. You want to feel good. It affects everything. And then you get your true experience in life. Relief Factor knows this. Relief Factor is a daily supplement, which I take, that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. That's why I take it. 100% drug-free. Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Again, neck pain, back pain, joint or muscle pain. Relief Factor can help you feel better. And it doesn't just mask the pain for a short period of time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate the pain. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. That's key. And in 3 weeks or less, you will know if it's working because you will feel the difference all day, every day. I know. I take it. I feel the difference every day. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. I wonder how many more that number is now that I've been talking about it every single day. So give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That number again, 1-800, the number 4, RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Let's see what else do we have here. One more. Rome. Figuring out the draft order is my kryptonite. Signed, Jera. Dan in C-Town. I lied. One more. At One Outlaw Swagger. For the love of God, the more I hear Jerry, the more I'm all in to becoming a full-time Texans fan. Jera, are you listening to that? Cowboy fans looking to switch allegiance to the Texans. And why wouldn't they? The Texans are a better team. They've got a better coach. They have a better organization.
What do you mean?
Who would you rather have calling the shots? An icon like Nick Caserio or some incoherent, rambling old kook? Of course your fans are looking to jump ship. Let's get out. Time for a sports update. What up, Nick? You're a legend.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Ta-da. That is all true. I am Jim Rome. I am live, and I am in Southern California. The NFL Draft is going to be live later on, and it's going to be in Detroit. With that in mind, I am joined now by the head football coach of the Ohio State. He's entering his sixth full season in that capacity. He is 56-8 overall as head coach of the Buckeyes. He went 39-3 in the Big Ten during that time. He was the 2019 Big Ten Coach of the Year. He led the Buckeyes to back-to-back Big Ten championships in 2019 and 2020. He reached the 2021 National Championship game last season. The Buckeyes were 11-2, 8-1 in conference play, and they played in the Cotton Bowl. We are joined right now by Ohio State head coach Ryan Day. Ryan, good to have you back. How are you?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on, Ryan. So I ran down a list of your accomplishments and Ohio State's accomplishments in recent years, but I want to say this. Because the first round of the NFL draft is tonight, there is another notable accomplishment. Since the first draft was held, Ryan, back in 1936, Ohio State has produced 90 first-round picks, which is more than any other school. So what does that record represent to you? And then how effective a recruiting tool is that when you meet with players and their families?
Yeah, it's a big part of our recruiting in terms of our communication about development. In that, when you come to Ohio State, you have to think big. And you know, Marvin Harrison is a great example of that. You know, he thought big when he was here. You know, he had an opportunity to go to a lot of different places. He went into a room where I think there was, you know, 4 or 5 star receivers in a room when he came in and ended up being the Blitnikoff Award winner. And that's because every day when he was in that locker room or on the field, he was being challenged by a bunch of guys. And if you want to be elite, you want to be around other elite players and mindsets. And I think, you know, with the combination of the expectations of Ohio State, the excellence here, the standard, you know, you just understand when you walk into this building, when you walk into this program, that the expectations are that you're, you know, you're winning championships, but you're also developing to have an opportunity to go play in the NFL.
Ohio State head coach Ryan Day joining us. So you had 3 first-rounders last year. Of course, I was going to ask you about Marvin Harrison Jr., but because he'll be a lock to join that list tonight, you kind of answered that part of the question already. Let me ask you this, Ryan. I mean, regardless of who you are or how high you go or how great you are, you're going to catch some strays. Some anonymous scouts or coaches or media or the fans are going to take their shots. And as great as Marvin is, even he's no different in that regard. He's heard about it for not working out or not participating in media interviews and kind of going about it his own way. What do you make of that criticism, and does his approach seem unusual to you in any way?
Well, I think when you're at Ohio State, you know, you're going to be in the spotlight, and with that, you know, sometimes comes, you know, certain criticism, and nobody experienced that more than CJ Stroud last year and some of the guys we've had. And so it's something we talk about all the time, is that, you know, when you get closer to the draft, people are going to come at you, but that's nothing new to our guys. And what really matters is, you know, that you're going to get drafted and the opportunity is going to be presented to you and what you do with that opportunity. But to me, Marvin, you know, he thinks big and he thought big, you know, and he'll continue to do that. And I think if you asked him, you know, what does he want to do in football, he would tell you that I want to be the best wide receiver to ever play football. You know, and for him, he has a different perspective, just, you know, seeing his dad and what he did and he accomplished in the game. But Marvin is talented, but more importantly, he's disciplined in skill. And his skill set is going to translate very, very well to the NFL, and he's going to have a tremendous career.
So, Ryan, he thinks big. Obviously, C.J. Stroud thinks big, thought big, continues to do so. I know you expected huge things from him. Did you expect even what he's accomplished already in the NFL? Because he has just been unbelievable.
Well, it's funny to think back on this time last year and all the criticism he was getting and the things that people were saying about him. And I went public the day of the draft and just said, I think the strength of C.J. Stroud is his ability to process information and his cognitive aptitude. And I think, you know, the people that are around him are not shocked to see him have the success he had. You know, great to see him endear himself into an organization, build hope in an organization. And I think that's what some of our guys have done. You look what Garrett Wilson did with the New York Jets. You see what he's doing now with the Houston Texans. And I think you'll see the same thing with Marvin this season.
Ohio State head coach Ryan Day joining us. Big night for that program. So Ohio State's reputation as a pipeline to the pros is going to be bolstered by others, in fact. Defensive tackle Mike Hall may go, I don't know where you have him, Ryan, probably in the second round, maybe after playing three seasons for you. What's he going to bring to the team that selects him?
Yeah, so for Marvin, I mean, for Mike, I think that Mike has, again, a tremendous skill set. I think you see the twitch. You see the ability for him to rush the passer and play, you know, first down, run. He's very, very disruptive. And so when you see a guy who, you know, can play all three downs and has the ability to be in the backfields and wreck offenses, you know, I think a lot of teams are going to be, you know, looking really, really hard at him. So I think he's climbing the draft board. And I think, you know, again, wherever he goes, you're going to see his best football ahead of him because he is young. You know, he only played 3 years of college football. So there's a lot of football left in his game.
You know, I think, Ryan, he's intriguing. Another guy that really intrigues me is Cade Stover. Now, he may have to wait a bit longer to hear his name read, but he's viewed as one of the top tight end prospects. What's his pro outlook after he began his Buckeye career playing defensive end and linebacker before switching to the other side of the ball?
Yeah, I think for Cade, it was similar to when Terry McLaurin was coming out a few years back, and during the process, you know, scouts would come in and ask questions. And, you know, my comment to them was, you know, Terry's going to be on your team, and he's going to play for a really, really long time, and he's going to have a great career in the NFL. Now, what value, you know, you guys decide to put on him, that's up to you. But I know he's going to, you know, do well in the second contract and play for a long time. It's the same thing with Cade Stover. Cade Stover is going to play in the NFL for a long time. His athleticism, his toughness, his work ethic, his intelligence, his spatial awareness is all going to translate very, very well in the NFL in that game.
Hey, listen, if that's the comp, then somebody's going to get a real good player and a real good dude. Terry McLaurin, to me, is just the gold standard. Love the guy. Now, your friendship and football relationship with Chip Kelly is pretty well documented, going back to when you played your college ball at the University of New Hampshire, and Chip was coaching there. Of course, Chip gave up his head coaching job at UCLA to join your staff and become your offensive coordinator. So what's it been like having Chip on the staff? And then maybe what wrinkles might we see from the offense under Chip this season?
It's been great. You know, Chip really has been great since he's been here. He's worked hard at building relationships with the guys on offense, with the staff. He's got a great energy about him right now. I think he's excited just to be working on football. And it's been really good. You know, since we split apart, I went to Ohio State, he went to UCLA. You know, there's a lot of things that we still have in common, so we're talking the same language. But there's different things that, you know, he's done and that we've done here. And so, you know, we've been kind of coming together on that and putting it together based on the personnel that we have. But he's been very excited to have some of the talent that we have coming back on offense.
So, Ryan, one last thought. The point you just made that Chip's excited because he's getting to work on football and just really work on football. Like, you know, I realize your job is 24/7. And you had your spring game on April 13th, so once the draft ends on Saturday, you might be entering a quieter period of the football calendar. But unlike Chip, who gets to work on football, you still have to work on everything. I'm curious, do you force yourself to get away from the job at times to try to create that spot where you can recharge and refocus? And if so, what do you get into?
Yeah, well, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, when you move up, you got to give up. And that's one of the things that's hard about right now in college football is that, you know, when you become the head coach, you got to give up a lot of different things and your job description changes and what the team needs from you is different than when you were in a different role. And so it's embracing the team. It's making sure that I'm involved with fundraising. It's making sure that I'm involved with everybody on the team and pushing the staff. And I think also for a leader is to look around along the horizon and try to figure out what's coming next, whether it's, you know, structural things within college football, the playoff system this season, the change in the 2 minute, you know, there's, a, you know, the coach to player communication on field. I mean, there's been so many changes in college football that keep coming. And I think it's the head coach's job to make sure we're looking out in the horizon to make sure that, you know, we're preparing our guys. But for me individually, I try to get away the best I can. I try to, you really don't have time when you're a football coach to do anything much more than football and family. And so I get away with my family. I have three young kids. They like to play sports. So I like to get around those guys. My son is a quarterback now. He's a freshman in high school. My two daughters play basketball. So I like to get around them and try to help them with that. And then lastly, just try to travel a little bit. Try to get away when we can. Not that there's a lot of time for that. But when we do, we enjoy traveling together as a family.
So, Ryan, really quickly, when you watch your son play quarterback, is it relaxing or is it nerve-wracking? What's it like for you?
Oh, my God. It's not easy. Now my wife, starts on now like Friday at noon, and then it goes all the way through our game because, you know, she used to have to just stress about our game on Saturday. Now she has to stress because her son's playing quarterback in high school. So that starts about noon on Friday and goes all the way till our game's over on Saturday. So long weekends for her. Certainly stressful watching your son.
Oh, no,
play.
I get it. I was making the point the other day that we had two kids play high school baseball, just high school baseball, and didn't advance beyond that. And that was more stressful to me than any show I've ever done, any work I've ever done in the media, in a great way, by the way, but really,
yeah.
Really stressful. So
I think the thing is watching your kids go through adversity, you know, seeing them succeed, seeing them fail, then pick themselves off the ground and grow from it and build. I mean, that's really a cool part of being a parent. But when you're in it, you certainly want to see them succeed, but you know you can't control it, so you got to just let them learn.
Yes and yes. I agree with both those points. He is the head football coach at Ohio State. It's going to be a big night for that program once again. Ryan, always good to run you down. I appreciate your time, especially on a day like this. Good luck tonight.
Always good talking to you, Jim. Take care.
You too, Ryan. Appreciate you. Ryan Day, head coach of the Ohio State. I like that relationship. I like that we can run him down like that and have a conversation like that. My thanks to Ryan Day. Bam! There's hour number one. That was nice. Like I like to say, smooth and easy. They aren't always, but that one was. All right, coming up next hour, one of my favorite human beings, Daniel Jeremiah. He will have lots of thoughts on the draft because nobody works it like him, and nobody's got his insight. Nobody like DJ. That's coming up at 10:20. You know what? You can start lining up for the beef segment. Top of hour number three. 1-800-636-8686 and half chouds. We're talking Celtics in Miami. Stay tuned.